الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eder.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you, inshallah, to our daily program and our daily discussion and the daily discourse on the topic of Islamic manners, based on a book called Min Adab al-Islam, written by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Time is very short, and we literally have less than 45 minutes for iftar, so hence, I need to really haste and move into the next section, inshallah, today, which is a very important section. Yesterday we talked about the importance of not being too nosy, and the importance of, and the sin of eavesdropping and overhearing people's conversation. That's what we talked about yesterday. And also the fact that when two people are sitting, when there's three of you, then two people should not have a private conversation, which is haram in Islam, which is unlawful. And also there should not be any whispers and any secret conversation between two people in the presence of the third. And we also talked about avoiding sitting between two people. So it was basically all these things that were related in terms of not being too intrusive and too nosy in the affairs of other people. Today we move on to a very important section of this book. And this section is regarding respect. If you remember, in the first couple of sessions, I talked about the word adab in Arabic, that it does not only mean respect. In Urdu, maybe sometimes we have this understanding of the word adab, that it refers to respect. But the Arabic term, the Arabic phrase of the word adab, is quite comprehensive, which includes, as I mentioned earlier on, تَجْمَعُ خِصَالَ الْخَيْرِ كُلَّهَا, includes and entails and comprises and consists of all good qualities. So one of these good qualities and one of these attributes and one of these great characteristics and these good traits is respect. So it's respect with your elders, with your parents, with the scholars, with your teachers. This whole next point is about respecting elderly people, respecting senior people to you, which includes all these people. It respects your teachers, respects your parents, your elders, the noble people of the community, respectable individuals in the community, and particularly the scholars and the ulama and the shuyukh. This is what the next few pages of this book is dedicated to. And actually the Shaykh, the author of this book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, goes into quite detail in explaining this point, because there are certain people who actually object to this whole aspect of respecting, of standing up for other people, and respecting, walking behind the elderly people, or walking behind those who you respect. Some people have a problem to this, and that's why he actually mentions in Arabic. Literally the text, the pages that I have here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and a half sites. 7.5 sites of this book dedicated to this topic. So he goes into quite detail. Hence, I will translate inshallah, but I don't need to elaborate much, because the text in the book is self-explanatory and It explains everything in detail. So let's read the text and let's see what the Shaykh, the author of this book, is telling us, inshallah. Before I do so, just one point that came to my mind today that, dear listeners, you know, many of the time I say, you know, like when I'm talking, when I'm discussing or teaching on this program every day at the time of iftar, when I address, when I say, when you enter your house, don't knock violently, when you enter into upon a gathering, say salam. When you enter a gathering, don't sit between two people. When you do this, don't do this. When you do this, do that. When I am saying that, it's not me ordering you or commanding you. Neither am I in a position to order and command, right? I need to act upon these things as much as you do. It's for all of us. But what I am doing is I am just literally translating. So it's the Shaykh, the author of this book, whose biography I mentioned in detail few days ago, right at the beginning. It's the Shaykh, the author of this book, a Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimullah, talking to all of us who's passed away rahimullah. So I am literally translating, because the Arabic text is such that I'm translating it literally. So he says, like, for example, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ مَجْلِسًا, when you enter a gathering. So he's talking to us. So it's not me talking to you, it's him, the author, talking to all of us. And inshallah, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he enables us to practice on all these etiquettes that we have been learning in this blessed month of Ramadan. So moving on, inshallah, quickly, I'll read the Arabic text and then we'll explain. Translate and a bit of explanation today, inshallah. As I said, we don't need much explanation because the text is self-explanatory. He says, the author, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اعرف للكبير قدره وحقه. Know and recognize the status and the right of the elderly people. Remember, this etiquette is about respecting the elders and the people of respect and the people of high position and the prominent people and figures in the community. So recognize للكبير. Kabir here does not merely refer to people who are elderly in age. Rather, it's a comprehensive term here, as it will be mentioned further along. It includes all those people who deserve respect. Therefore, the better translation is those senior to you. Recognize the status, qadr, the status, recognize it. He's telling us, recognize it. Recognize the status and the right of the senior person. There's two things the Shaykh is telling us to recognize. Number one, the status. Acknowledge. Recognition means acknowledgement. Acknowledge the status of your father. Acknowledge the status of your mother. Acknowledge and recognize the status of your teacher. Acknowledge and recognize the status of the one who is more knowledgeable than you, in Islamic matters especially. Recognize and acknowledge the status of the people of good quality, of piety, of nobility, of generosity. Those people who have these good qualities and good traits, recognize their status. When you recognize their status, this will mean you will respect them. And then the Shaykh says, and recognize their rights, that they have certain rights, and fulfill those rights. What are these rights and what are these aspects of respecting them? He says, فَإِذَا مَشَيْتَهُ فَسِرْ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ مُتَأَخِّرًا عَنْهُ بَعْضَ الشَّيْءِ. When you walk with this person who is senior to you, he might be the imam of the masjid, he might be a teacher, he might be your sheikh, he might be an alim, he might be somebody just elderly, he might be your father, maybe your uncle. Whoever this person who is senior to you, when you walk with him, walk to his right, slightly behind him. مُتَأَخِّرًا عَنْهُ, behind him, بَعْضُ الشَّيْءٍ, slightly. This is the etiquette. When you're walking with somebody who is senior to you, old brother, sister, you don't walk ahead of him. This is the Islamic teaching. Sometimes we think, you know, we see sometimes, why is this person walking behind another person? These are Islamic teachings. We read, there's so many ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by the Shaykh in this book. Walk behind him to the right, slightly behind him. Not too far behind that if he needs to talk to you, then, you know, he just has to keep on turning around. Just slightly behind him, you're a son, you are walking to the masjid with your father. You don't walk ahead of your father. You walk not even exactly side by side your father. Rather, the adab is you walk slightly behind your father and on the right, not on the left. وَإِذَا دَخَلْتَ أَوْ خَرَجْتَ فَقَدِّمْهُ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّخُولِ وَالْخُرُوجِ. And when you're walking, you'll be walking slightly behind him on the right. But when you're just about to enter a door or leave a door, exit a door, when you're just about to enter or exit, like you've come to the masjid door, or you're just about to enter the house, let him enter and exit before you. Subhanallah, amazing point. I mentioned this a couple of days ago, or a few days ago, I remember, that this is the etiquette of the Muslims. I remember I was mentioning to you that I know a lot of friends, mashallah, who have so much humbleness and humility and good adab within them, that when they will come to a particular door to enter through it, then that should be, there should be mutual respect, and each one should be willing to respect the other. But here the Shaykh is saying that if you're walking with somebody senior to you, then when you come to a door, or when you are exiting, when you are entering through a door or exiting, when you come to a door, let the one senior to you. If you are with your father, let your father enter the masjid first. You don't go into the door first. Unless you go and you open the door for him and let him enter. That's fine. You walk quickly, slightly ahead of him, then open the door and let him go through first. These are Islamic etiquettes, brothers and sisters. So we should... The senior people to us, what is the Shaykh saying? That let the senior one to you enter the room or the masjid or the house or the mosque or wherever you are. Let him enter first and let him exit first. وَإِذَا إِلْتَقَيْتَ بِهِ فَأَعْطِهِ حَقَّهُ مِنَ السَّلَامِ وَالْإِحْتِرَامِ. When you meet this person who is senior to you, then give him his right of greeting and respect. So when you meet your teacher on the middle of the road, you meet somebody senior to you, what do? Say salam to him, greet him first, and respect him. Be humble, respect him, honor him, be absolutely respectful and really, really, you know, respectful to him, to the one who is senior to you. وَإِذَا اشْتَرَكْتَ مَعَهُ فِي حَدِيثٍ فَمَكِّنْهُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ قَبْلَكَ. And when you discuss something with him, when you are having a conversation with him, then let him speak first before you. This is another very important etiquette. When you are speaking to your father, let him speak before you. When you are talking to your teacher, don't become your teacher yourself. Seriously, some people, they have this really bad habit. And once, especially when they've graduated and they've learned a bit of knowledge, then what happens is that they think that they are the great sheikh themselves. And even when they're talking to their own father, for example, their own parents. Remember, your parents are your parents all the time. They have respect over you regardless of how big sheikh and alim you become. And your teacher is always your teacher, and your father is always your father. They talk in such a way, they don't even let the other person talk. You don't let your father talk. The Shaykh is saying here that when you have a discussion with somebody senior to you, فَمَكِّنْهُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ قَبْلَكَ. Let him speak first. Let him speak first. Give him all the time to speak. Yes, then if you have a bit of time to speak, then speak. But always let him speak more and let him speak first. If you're speaking to your mother, let her speak first. Let her speak more. واستمع إليه بإصغاء وإجلال. And listen to their conversation attentively and respectfully. You know, when your father is talking to you, when your mother is talking to you, addressing you, when your teacher talks to you, when the senior person speaks to you, then what do? Listen attentively. You know, be very, very attentive. Even if you know what they're telling you, but still, just be very, very attentive. Say, yes, yes, definitely, you know. Be very, very humble and be respectful. وَإِذَا كَانَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ مَا يَدْعُو لِلْمُنَاقَشَةِ فَنَاقِشْهُ بِأَدَبٍ وَسَكِينَةٍ وَلُطْفٍ. And if you need to have a discussion, meaning if you're in the conversation is something that in which there is munaqasha, difference of opinion. Like, for example, you know, you might have to, because Islam doesn't say you have to agree with everything, okay? That's not what respect means. Islam doesn't say we have to agree with everything that our father says or our mother says. Every theory that they hold, every opinion that they form, we don't have to accept it, right? Even with a teacher, you can have a good honest discussion, and you can contradict the position and opinion of your teacher. This is the beauty of our religion, Islam. Okay, that's absolutely possible. But what the Shaykh is saying here, that when your opinion differs with the one who is senior to you, then have this discussion, munaqasha, with adab, with respect, with calmness, with politeness. Don't start getting angry. You can't. Even with your father, if you have a slight disagreement, then with lutf, with gentleness, remember and always recognize that you are the junior and he is the senior. Your teacher is always the senior to you and you are junior to him. Always remember that fact and keep the fact in your mind. وَغُضَّ مِن صَوْتِكَ فِي حَدِيثِكَ إِلَيْهِ. And make sure that you keep your voice low, lower your voice in your conversation with your seniors. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَتْهُ أَوْ نَادَيْتَهُ فَلَا تَنْسَ تَكْرِيمَهُ فِي الْخِطَابِ وَالنِّدَاءِ. And when you have to address this person who is senior to you, your teacher or your mother or your father, or you have to call them, then do not forget to honor them whilst addressing them, whilst calling them. Meaning that even when you have to address them, remember you address your seniors with respect, with honor. Oh my father, oh my beloved mother, okay? That's how you do, this is how you address people senior to you. Like the Arabs say, Sayyidi. I remember, when I used to study in Syria, subhanAllah, the people, one of the great qualities that I saw within the people there was their character and their manners. So humble, so well-mannered, even the general public, and the way they respect the ulama and the shuyukh there, which I will talk about inshallah in the next page, second to none. I've not seen that kind of respect anywhere in the world. Students with their teachers, you know, when they come, they say, Sayyidi, oh my master. Everybody, you know, the way they address, Sayyidi, that's how they start. Sayyidi, I have a question. Sayyidi, subhanAllah, it looks so beautiful, it sounds so beautiful, and people are so humble. And that's the kind of humbleness and humility we need to bring into our lives, brothers and sisters. So when you have to address as well, when you have to address them, when you have to talk to your parents, your teachers, your elders, your seniors, then the Shaykh is saying here, don't forget to honor them and don't forget to respect them. Use words and terms and phrases of respect. وَإِلَيْكَ بَعْضَ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَالْآثَارِ الَّتِي تَدْعُو إِلَى هَذَا الْأَدَبِ. And in support of what I have said, the Shaykh is saying, in support of what I have said, here are some ahadith, some sayings and some reports of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that invite us to this great etiquette. Now he's going to mention, inshallah, in the next few pages, numerous ahadith, numerous. There's literally 8, 9, 10, so many hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam in terms of this great etiquette of respecting elders and especially scholars, which will come inshallah in the next page. The first hadith is, جَاءَ أَخَوَانِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِيُحَدِّثَاهُ بِحَادِثَةٍ وَقَعَتْ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَكْبَرَ مِنْ أَخِيهِ فَأَرَادَ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمَ الصَّغِيرُ فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَبِّرْ كَبِّرْ أي أعطي الكبير حقه ودع لأخيك الأكبر الكلام رواه البخاري ومسلم. Two brothers came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam to talk to him about some incident that had occurred to them. One of them was older than the other, akbara min akhihi. Two brothers, one was senior, one was older in age. And when they came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the younger one intended to talk and he started talking. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the young brother, Kabbir, Kabbir. The elder one, meaning, now this is the Shaykh explaining, meaning, give your elder brother his right and let him speak before you because he is older than you, therefore he has more right to speak. This is a hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. This is the first hadith which shows clearly the importance of respecting the one who is senior to you. Look at this hadith. Two brothers came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the younger one started talking. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straight away stopped him and said, no, your older brother has more right to talk before you. If he talks, or if he tells you to talk, then you talk. This is the respect. We, you know, sometimes brothers, we always want to get our point across first, even when senior people are present. This is wrong etiquette. You know, we are sitting in a gathering, there's your father's there, or your sheikh is there, or your teacher's there, or people senior to you are there, your elder brother's there. The etiquette is that when your senior brother is there, that you don't talk. If you're in a gathering and subhanAllah, you know, that this is the etiquette. If you have a senior brother to you, sitting in that gathering, no matter, you know, how well people know you there, but you should not be able to talk because your brother is there who is older than you in age. He deserves that respect. Your father's there. Okay? Your you know, elderly people in the community, people senior to you are there, and they deserve their respect. So the adab is, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the younger brother, let the elder one speak first. وَقَالَ سَيِّدُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُجِلَّ كَبِيرَنَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ رواه الإمام أحمد والحاكم والطبراني عن عبادة بن صامت رضي الله عنه. The next hadith which the Shaykh is mentioning here, he says, our master, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who does not respect our elders is not of us. The one who does not respect our elders is not of us. And the one, in another riwayah, yuwaqqir, yujilla or yuwaqqir, the word in Arabic. And the one who does not show compassion and mercy to our young people is also not of us. And the one who does not recognize the right of our scholars is not one of us. Narrated by Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Hakim, Imam al-Tabarani, from the companion Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Listen to this hadith. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in this hadith? The one who does not show respect to our elder people, and the one who does not have rahmah and mercy and compassion for our younger people, and the one who does not show respect and honor and does not recognize the right of our scholars. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. The one who does not acknowledge, recognize the right of our alim. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, our alim, then he is not one of us. Amazing hadith. This shows as well that in Islam there are ranks, there are positions, there are states of people, statuses and levels and ranks. There are. Seriously, there are. Some people object to this, that no, we are all equal. What's one respecting the other? I mean, we should all respect one another for being a human being and for being a Muslim and for the good qualities. But without a doubt, there are levels between people. And there are certain qualities which Islam recognizes and gives importance to. And the greatest of this quality is ilm. Knowledge, Islamic knowledge, sacred knowledge. That's the highest quality and attribute that makes a person respectable. And number two is age. In Islam, we have certain attributes, certain character traits, certain qualities because of which people are respected. And Islam recognizes these qualities, these attributes. Islam acknowledges them. The first one is knowledge of Islam, as I mentioned, which is sacred knowledge, knowledge of the Quran, Sunnah, knowledge of Islam. That's the highest quality because of which people should be respected. And the one who holds that quality within herself or himself deserves to be respected. Number two comes age. Age is also greatly, like in this hadith, the one who does not respect our elders. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about respecting elders and respecting scholars. But then after that, we have all these other qualities coming, like generosity, of piety, of nobility, of you know, being a leader in the community. These are all qualities because of which we have to respect people. These are all qualities because of which we have to respect people, right? So, These are qualities, and this is what's mentioned in this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that, look, respect the elderly people, and respect the one who does not respect the alim. And seriously, brothers and sisters, respecting ulama and scholars is very important. Knowing their right and acknowledging their right and their position, it's greatly important. And I'm not saying this because I am an alim. By the way, I'm not even an alim. I am just a student of knowledge. I am only a student of knowledge, someone who's learning the rules of Islam. I'm just a student. And I am not saying this because I want you to respect me. Far from it. You don't have to ever respect me. I don't mind at all. Seriously, I don't mind at all. You know, I'm just a normal person, just like you, a friend of yours. But the scholars and the ulama, the shuyukh, what Islam is telling us, we must respect them. Look at this hadith specifically. The one who does not respect our shuyukh and our alim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, the one who does not respect our scholar, our ulama, is not from us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that, you know, this person is not from the Jama'atul Muslimin. He's not one of our people. He's not somebody who's even worthy of being from Muslims. He's not even worthy of being from the group of Muslims. Okay? Unfortunately, you know, today, brothers and sisters, criticizing scholars and ulama has become a fashion. Seriously, you have four or five people sitting, the only thing they'll do is backbite, talk bad, ill about this alim, this imam, this sheikh, this maulana, this alim, and this sheikh. That's what, I mean, to talk about any Muslim is bad enough. And then talking about, I mean, backbiting is eating the flesh of a Muslim. It's bad enough talking about any Muslim. And if you talk about the ulama, then it's even worse. The ulama, you know, there's a saying which says that the flesh of the ulama is poisonous. Their flesh is poisonous. You're killing yourself by eating their flesh. Why waste time in just criticizing? If you disagree with someone, then fine, Islam is a religion of disagreement, of diversity, as I mentioned on more than one occasion. You don't just sit and criticize. All you do is you go with other, with respect, with gentleness, like a nice good human being. Discuss it, fine. You know, if you understand, fine. If you don't understand, you have your way. He has his way. Alhamdulillah, we're all brothers and sisters. You know, just chill, take it easy. But the problem is we just want to criticize. We just want to talk bad about the ulama. It's become a fashion right now. It's a fashion. It's something that, you know, many people do just criticize and ridicule and talk ill of the scholars, which is a major sin. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, the one who does not recognize the right of our alim is not from us. He's not from us, meaning he's not from the Muslims. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. You know, some of the parts in the world, I keep on mentioning Syria, but seriously, I mean, I saw so many good things there which I don't see in many other places. You see the general people, the public, they're respecting the ulama, subhanAllah, second to none, in Syria and even in Yemen. I stayed a short period of time in Yemen, in Hadramaut. I was amazed by the way people respect their shuyukh and ulama. Literally, you know, they would, every time somebody comes and meets a great sheikh, a pious person, alim, they and not just alim, even their parents, they shake their hands, they kiss their hands. Subhanallah, I was shocked in Syria. If you go to Syria, brothers and sisters, ever you have a chance to go to Syria, see, especially go to Halab, and see how the general public, the way they adore and respect and venerate and honor their, you know, scholars and the shuyukh, second to none, seriously. And that's what something that we are lacking in our communities. Alhamdulillah, some communities in certain areas of the Muslim world, even in the Asian community, they, mashallah, respect the ulama greatly, and we need to learn from them. So this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in this hadith. This whole etiquette is about respecting elders, respecting parents, respecting shuyukh, ulama, and teachers. People of good qualities. As I mentioned, there are certain qualities, like the Sheikh will say here in a couple of pages afterwards as well. There are certain qualities because of which in Islam people are respected. I mentioned one, ilm. ilm, anything related to Islam, okay? Meaning knowledge of Islam. So ulama, shuyukh, and the great scholars. So knowledge is a quality because of which somebody is senior to you and you respect. Number two, I said age. Anybody older than you in age, like in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one hadith before it, he told the younger brother to let the elder one speak first. So age is something because of which we have to respect people. Also, qualities such as, you know, good noble qualities, which have been mentioned, like sharafa and karam, or sakhawa, generosity. Somebody is generous, or somebody is, for example, very pious. Somebody is pious, we respect the pious person. Pious is something because of which people deserve respect. Nobility, somebody is very noble in his character. So nobility is something because of which we respect people. Like for example, somebody is a doctor, right? He has good understanding of the science of medicine. And al-ilmu ilman, Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said, al-ilmu ilman, ilmu al-fiqhi lil-adiyan wa ilmu al-tibbi lil-abdan. Knowledges that are worth studying are only two. Who said this? Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Number one, religious knowledge, and number two, the science of medicine. The science of medicine has a great position within Islam. So if somebody is a doctor, has a knowledge of medicine, that's something that gives him respect. That's something because of which he deserves to be respected. So that knowledge as well. These kind of qualities are because of which people are respected and are to be respected. Okay, so not just ulama, but all the good qualities, and some of these qualities will become more apparent to us in the next couple of pages. However, if you've seen here, there's one quality which has not been mentioned. And sometimes we respect because of that quality, but that's not been mentioned in any way in the Quran and Sunnah. And rather, it's the opposite. It's wrong to respect someone just because of that quality. Remember what I am saying, brothers and sisters, to give somebody respect just because of that quality, just because of that quality. If somebody respects someone who has that quality, but not just because of that quality, because of some other quality, then fine. Okay, it's not a problem. So we shouldn't judge people. But if you've seen knowledge, ilm, science, and memorization of the Quran, ilm of the Quran, hadith, age, nobility, generosity, being a doctor, all these are qualities because of which people are respected. But there's one thing that does not in itself make somebody worthy of respect. And what is that? That is being rich. That is having wealth. Unfortunately, we live in this world that we are all worshippers. لُعِنْ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارِ وَعَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمْ وَعَبْدُ الْقَمِيصَ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, cursed is the slave of the dinar and dirham. Cursed is the slave of the pound and the dollar. We worship money, we've become materialistic. Hence, when we have extreme love for something, then we will love the one who holds that. If we have a lot of love for wealth and money, then anyone who's got a bit of, you know, thick wallet in his pocket, then we'll start respecting that person. Because what do we think? Yes, I might get some gift from him or something here and there. I might get some money if I get close to him. Respecting someone just because they are rich is unlawful and not in harmony with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. So we respect people because of good noble qualities, but being rich and wealthy in itself is not a quality that deserves respect. Yes, if somebody has another additional quality to that, like for example, somebody is rich, but at the same time he's an alim, a sheikh, now you are respecting that person because he's an alim, not because of his money, alhamdulillah, you can respect him. If somebody is rich and a doctor, you are respecting him because of being a doctor, then that's great, not because of the money. If somebody is rich as well as very pious, very, very pious, very good Muslim, very pious, you are respecting him because of his piety, alhamdulillah. Somebody is rich as well as generous, very, very open and giving and generous, and does a lot of good things for Islam, and a very, very good Muslim. And your, you know, respect and veneration and love for him is because of this great quality he has of, you know, wanting to help Muslims, and has this, you know, great concern for the Muslim community. And you are so touched by him, and you want to respect him because of that. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, you should respect him. but not because of the money. Make sure your intention is right. And if somebody doesn't have any of these qualities, only has a thick wallet, and you are respecting just because of that thick wallet, then I'm afraid to say, brothers and sisters, that is wrong, it's sinful, it's haram. I went to one country a couple of years back, I won't mention which country. I was so shocked because the only thing in that country that mattered to people was money. Every time you meet someone, oh, this is the second richest person in, I won't say the country's name, this is the richest person. You know, I used to go to some places invited for food, and one individual used to walk in, everybody stand up, respect him. Now, I used to intentionally just remain seated sometimes. I don't know who, normally we have to stand up, but then, you know, the way they would introduce them, the brother would say, oh, mashallah, this is brother such and such. He is the, mashallah, the third richest person in, and they mentioned the country's name. He has this business, mashallah, he's this successful. That's it. So what? What is it to me? I'm not concerned. I'm not interested in how many businesses he has or not. Neither do I want anything from him that I should be concerned. Tell me, you know, mashallah, other good qualities of his, not the quality of money. Don't introduce someone by saying he's the second richest and the third richest and the richest and the fourth richest and the fifth richest. I don't want to know who's the first and the second richest. Tell me whether how generous he is, or how, you know, how pious he is. Oh, mashallah, tell me about, you know, what he did for the masjid or something like that. Okay? So respecting someone just because of wealth is not part of the teachings of Sharia, brothers and sisters. We see here, there are many qualities because of which we respect people. Because of which we respect people. And this is what the Sheikh is explaining here. He said, look, respect people because of their old ageness. Age is because of, somebody is 60 years of age, you are 30. You respect that person. Somebody is alim, somebody is a hafiz of the Quran. You respect that person. Somebody is generous. Somebody is noble. Somebody is a senior figure in the community. Somebody who's doing a lot for Islam and Muslims. A doctor. You respect these people. And this is what the hadith and this is what the teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. So anyway, I will move on to the next paragraph. We have about 5 minutes left, which is the same point, respecting people. So then the Sheikh further along goes to say, so we learned in the two previous hadith that ensure that we respect the elderly people and make sure we respect the people of ilm, the people of knowledge, the people of wisdom, the people of piety. Then he says, وَاسْتَمِعْ إِلَى سَيِّدِنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُ الشَّبَابَ آدَابَ الصُّحْبَةِ وَالْإِجْتِمَاعِ وَتَقْدِيمِ الْكَبِيرِ عَلَى الصَّغِيرِ. And listen to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching the youth the etiquette, the adab of companionship, of gathering, and giving preference to the elders and honoring the elders over the young people. Listen, he says. And then he mentions a hadith. قَالَ الصَّحَابِيُّ الْجَلِيلِ مَالِكُ بْنُ الْحُوَيْرِثِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The great companion Malik bin Huwayrith, may Allah be pleased with him, says, أَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَنَحْنُ شَبَبَةٌ مُتَقَارِبُونَ أي شباب متقاربون في السن فأقمنا عنده 20 ليلة وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحيما رفيقا فظن أننا قد اشتقنا أهلنا فسألنا عمن تركنا من أهلنا فأخبرناه فقال ارجعوا إلى أهليكم فأقيموا فيهم وعلموهم ومروهم فإذا حضرت الصلاة فليؤذن لكم أحدكم وليؤمكم أكبركم رواه البخاري ومسلم. A hadith, another hadith mentioned in support of this point. The great companion Malik bin al-Huwayrith radiallahu anhu says, we came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we were a group of young people. We were who were similar in age. We were a group of youth. We stayed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 20 nights. So they left from the area, the city, and they made a journey all the way to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in order to learn from him. And we stayed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for how many nights? 20 nights. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely compassionate and kind. That's how a teacher should be. Rahiman, rafiqan, extremely kind and compassionate towards us. And then after a while, he felt and he sensed, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after 20 nights, that we are now missing our families because we left our families and came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to learn deen from him for 20 days. So he asked us that who we left behind from our family. So we told him that, yeah, I've left, somebody said I've left, I've got at home my mother, my father. So we informed him. So, you know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to us, irji'u ila ahliikum, go back to your families now. You've learnt enough, alhamdulillah, 20 nights. Stay amongst them. Now you teach them what you've learnt. And order them, command them to do good deeds. You've learnt how to perform salah prayer. Now teach your families, teach your community. And then he said, this is the main part of the hadith. He said, when the time for salah appears, then one of you should give adhan, but let the eldest one become the imam. Let the eldest one lead you in prayer. From you young people, the group of young people you have come, you've all learned how to pray. Now, one of you give adhans, and who should be the imam? The imam should be the eldest one, the one who is eldest in age. Now remember here, the ulama have commentated on this hadith. They said, this is when they are all equal in knowledge. Here, these young people, group of young people, they had all come and stayed, and they all learnt equally from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they were all in knowledge and in piety, they were all equal. So when in knowledge and in piety people are all equal, then you know who is given respect and who is told that, okay, you lead the salah, you become the imam, is the one who is more elderly, the one who is older than the rest. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because they were all equal in knowledge, in piety, etc., let the eldest one lead you and become your imam. Otherwise, ilm and knowledge is always given priority before age, because it's an honor, it's a quality before age. So here again, age is something that's given respect to, which the hadith has been mentioned. You know, he mentioned at the beginning that recognize the right of the elderly person, walk slightly behind him, let him enter the door first, let him talk first, respect, listen to his conversation attentively and respectfully. All these etiquettes that we just mentioned at the beginning of this discussion and lesson today, these are all the hadith supporting this. So this is a hadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, inshallah. And just finally one more. How many minutes do we have left? We just have, I think, a couple of minutes. I think we'll end here, inshallah, for today's session. We'll carry on tomorrow. What we have some more hadiths. I'm going to haste tomorrow because time is very short. There's so many hadiths that talk about, that show the importance of respecting the elders, the ulama, the scholars. There's a whole 3-4 pages, as I said, many hadiths, inshallah, that we'll go through tomorrow. I will explain and we'll complete this point of respecting our elders and respecting people of authority, respecting prominent people, inshallah. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Jazakallah khair for listening. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa ala kulli man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una, wa anfa'na bima allamtana, wa zidna ilma. Subhanaka Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana, innaka antal alimul hakeem. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Welcome back to this daily program on the topic of Islamic manners based on the book Min Adab al-Islam. Inshallah, moving on quickly because we literally have just about 45 minutes. If you remember, yesterday we started a whole new section in this book, which was the section of respecting one's elders, respecting the scholars, respecting the ulama, respecting one's teachers, respecting and venerating those that are senior to yourself, like uncles, aunties, parents, and respecting and venerating and honoring generally those people of good characteristics, people of good quality, people of distinguished characteristics and qualities, like I mentioned, such as the doctors, for example, because they have the knowledge of medicine, and those who have good qualities, piety, generosity, wisdom. So generally, people with these kind of qualities, respecting them. This is the whole section that we talked about. And the Shaykh, the author of this book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, he started this whole point by saying, mentioning some of the brief etiquettes and adab with regards to these individuals, like he said, recognize their right, recognize the elder's status and the right. When you walk, then walk slightly behind such a person. When you are entering a door, when you are entering or exiting, when you come close to a door, let that senior person enter the door first. And when you meet them, greet them with salam, respect them. When you have to talk with them, then lower your voice, let them speak first, give them more time to speak, listen to what they have to say respectfully, attentively. And if you have to have a disagreement about something which is permissible, then make sure you make your point across with politeness, with calmness, with humility, with humbleness. And whenever you have to address this person, then make sure you address them respectfully. So these were some of the basic points that he mentioned. And then he, in order to support his viewpoint of respecting such people, these senior individuals, the author, rahimahullah, he started mentioning some of the hadiths and some of the reports narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we read two hadiths yesterday, wherein one hadith was that where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two brothers, and the younger one started to talk, and he said, let the elder one, the eldest one, speak first. So this shows that the right of the elder one. And then the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who does not respect our elders, does not have mercy and compassion for our younger people, and the one who does not respect our ulama and our alims and our scholars, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is not one of us. And I spoke briefly about respecting and honoring the ulama. And then there was another hadith as well where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the eldest one should be the imam and lead the prayer. So this whole topic is about respecting those senior to us and you know, honoring them and respecting them. We move on quickly to the next few narrations, and I'm going to try to read through this swiftly because time, as I said, is very short. Reading through these few narrations that point out to the same fact. The Shaykh in this book that I have in front of me, he says, وَحَكَى الْحَافِظُ إِبْنُ رَجَبَ الْحَنْبَلِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي تَرْجَمَةِ الْفَقِيهِ أَبِي الْحَسَنِ عَلِيِّ بْنِ مُبَارَكَ الْكَرَخِي المتوفى سنة 487، وقد تتلمذ على الإمام الفقيه القاضي أبي يعلى الحنبلي شيخ الحنابلة في عصره رحمه الله تعالى عليهما، قال للقاضي أبو يعلى يوما وأنا أمشي معه: إذا مشيت مع من تعظمه أين تمشي منه؟ قلت: لا أدري. قال: عن يمينه تقيمه مقام الإمام في الصلاة وتخلي له الجانب الأيسر، فإذا أراد أن يستنثر أو يزيل أذن جعله في الجانب الأيسر. This is a quote. He says that the great Hanbali Imam, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, he was one of the great, you know, scholars of this ummah. Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, very famous alim, a muhaddith, a scholar of hadith. He has many books, like he has the commentary on Imam An-Nawawi's Arba'een, Jami'u Al-Ulum Wal-Hikam, the compendium of knowledge and wisdom, which has been published in English. And Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali has many other books. One other very good book which he has written is Lata'if al-Ma'arif, Fima li Mawasim al-Ami min al-Wadha'if. He talks about the 12 months of the calendar and all the specific aspects of each of the months. So Muharram, Safar. It's in Arabic. I don't think that book has been translated into English. So he relates in one of his books called Tabaqat al-Hanabila, regarding the biography of this great imam and jurist who was known as Abu al-Hasan Ali bin Mubarak al-Karkhi, who was a student of the great Hanbali imam and judge Abu Ya'la, who was the sheikh of the Hanbalis in his time. So this person, Ali bin Mubarak al-Karkhi, is saying that my teacher, the judge, Qadi Abu Ya'la, said to me once, this is a Hanbali scholar. The Sheikh is actually specifically using the scholars of the Hanbali madhab to point out these issues here, because some who claim to follow the Hanbali madhab actually object to these kind of etiquettes, the ones specifically being talked about in this particular point wherein you know, the Sheikh is saying that you should walk behind your teacher, slightly behind him, and respect him, things like that, walking behind an alim. So he said, this great Imam Qadi Abu Ya'la al-Hanbali, a famous, renowned alim, Abu Ya'la al-Hanbali, he said, I was with him once I was walking with him, and he said to me, when you walk with the person whom you respect, like your teacher, your father, your uncle, someone senior to you, where do you walk? How do you walk with him? So the student said, I don't know, la adri. So the Sheikh said, an yaminihi, you should walk on his right. You place him and position him on the position of the Imam in prayer. If you know that if there's only two people offering salah and prayer, then what happens? The Imam is stood at the front, and the one who is following him is stood just slightly behind him on his right hand side, not on his left hand side. So this Sheikh Abu Ya'la, Qadi Abu Ya'la al-Hanbali, is explaining to his student that look, the way the muqtadi, the follower, stands just slightly behind the Imam on his right hand side, likewise the person walking behind his teacher, behind his father, behind his elder, behind his uncle, someone senior to him, he should walk slightly behind him on the right hand side. And you should leave his left hand side, leave this left side for him. Why? Because if he, for example, suddenly feels the urge and the need to spit or remove dirt or something, then that left hand side is for him, that he can use that left hand side. For example, as walking, he's not going to start spitting on the middle of the road, of course, but sometimes, you know, somewhere where it's appropriate, and this is a sunnah. The guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that a man, if he feels the need and the urge, and he goes to an appropriate place and he needs to spit there or remove some kind of dirt, then it should be on the left side. Then the Sheikh says, قَدِّمِ الْكَبِيرَ وَذَا الْفَضْلِ فِي الضِّيَافَةِ وَالتَّكْرِيمِ فَابْدَأْ بِهِ قَبْلَ غَيْرِهِ ثُمَّ مَنْ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ عَمَلًا وَاتِّبَاعًا لِسُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ إِضَافَةً إِلَى الْحَدِيثَيْنِ السَّابِقَيْنِ كبر كبر وليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا أحاديث كثيرة جدا وإليك جملة منها. He says, in terms of respecting and honoring your elders and your seniors, you should also give preference to the elder, to the one of virtue, the respectable person, the one senior to you, in Diyafa. Diyafa is from the word daif. Daif in Arabic means a guest. Diyafa means, you know, in serving and honoring. In serving food and drink and honoring. So what the Sheikh is trying to say here, that look, when, for example, there's a few people in your house, you have like 5-6 people who've come to your house, and they're all sitting in the living room. Now, when you bring in food, when you bring in drink, you've bought some coffee, you've bought some tea, there's some fruit, or even honoring, you want, you know, it's time for food, who should move out, who should come first, who should be honored more. So the Sheikh is explaining here that look, contrary to what some people believe, that treat everybody equally, and that's it, you know, it should always be from the right hand side and everybody's equal. He says, contrary to that belief, the sunnah is, and this is Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi Rahimahullah, the great Sheikh is explaining to us in his book, Min Adab Al-Islam, that contrary to what some people think, that just treat everybody same equally, the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is to give precedence, to give preference, to give more importance to the one who honors, the one who deserves more honor and respect. So for example, you have like 5 people in your front room sitting, and one's a sheikh, an alim, for example, and the rest are non-alims. So when you bring in tea, you will go and give the cup of tea first to that sheikh, to that alim. And then, the sheikh will explain, then after that you start with the people on the right. So you start from the person sitting on the right of that sheikh, the most prominent figure. If it's not a sheikh, if it's not an alim, then there's 4 people. If everybody's equal, then you just start from the right. But if there are certain levels, if, for example, they're all equal in everything else, then you should go and start with the elderly. You know, you have a 75-year-old elderly person there, and the rest are all in their 40s and 50s. Okay? Now, who will you go and give your food or your cup of tea to first? The one who's elderly, because he deserves respect. We learned yesterday, that these are different aspects because of which we respect people, like ilm, knowledge, age, wisdom, piety, etc., etc. So, because of their quality and attribute and their characteristic, we honor them and we respect people. So, the Shaykh is explaining here that give preference to the ones of good quality and the one the elderly person in serving food and drink and even in honoring. Give them precedence. Give them more importance. Go and give them what you have to offer first. فَابْدَأْ بِهِ قَبْلَ غَيْرِهِ Start with them before everybody else. And then, the Shaykh says, then the people on his right in the majlis. So you've started with the most prominent person, and then you go to the one who is on the right of that prominent person, and then you move. He says, this is practicing the sunnah, and this is in practicing and in following. This is following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof for this, the Shaykh says, in addition to the previous two hadiths that we studied yesterday, he says, in addition to the previous two hadiths, which one? Which two hadiths? Yesterday we discussed them. The one where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Kabbir, Kabbir, let the eldest brother speak first. That's a dalil, that's a proof, right? Because he said, let him speak first. So that, it doesn't just mean speaking, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam honored him. Okay, so if you give drink, then give the eldest one first. It's honoring the eldest one. And also the other hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does not respect our مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا The one who does not respect our elders, does not have respect for our scholars, is not from us. These are two, you know, strong evidences to prove the point that when you have people sitting, the most prominent person, the one who has the highest level, should be honored first, and you should give preference to them and give precedence to them. This is what the Shaykh is explaining here. So those two hadith, and he says, besides, in addition to those two hadiths that we've studied, there are many hadiths, and here are some. Now he's going to mention a lot of hadiths in support of this, because he really wants to drive this point home, because, you know, there have been certain people who object to this. What's this, you know, respecting an alim? What's this, walking behind a Shaykh? And even today in our community, brothers and sisters, some people just have a big problem. Of just, you know, we have become a community that just likes to sit and gossip and criticize. Unfortunately, we don't want to do anything positive, and we just like to just comment and just be negative about everything. Let people do, you know, everybody has faults. I have faults, you have faults, whether it's individual level, collective level, organizations, institutions. Every human being, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ تَوَابُونَ خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا Right? Allah says in the Quran, human being is created weak. Everybody has faults. So what we try to do is do whatever we can and be positive. Just be upbeat, be positive, be, you know, always try to interpret the other person's action in a different way. Somebody brings like a complaint about someone, oh, maybe they try to say this, or maybe they try to say this. Just diffuse the situation. That's a sign of a good Muslim. Seriously, that's a sign of a good Muslim. And we should be happy for everybody. Be happy for everyone. And be, you know, supportive of everyone. No matter if there's some problems here and there, then in a nice way, go and give them the siha. Say, look, you know, inshallah, from the depth of my heart. But we just like to criticize, just sit there. There are certain people, you know, they just want to sit and just gossip and criticize this sheikh and this alim and this imam and this maulana and this sheikh and this alim. Really. And this organization and this institution, and they're just doing this and they're making money and this is a money making. Subhanallah. At least they're doing something. At least they're doing something. If they're making money by they're doing the work, then alhamdulillah, at least they're making money by doing the work. You join in as well and make money yourself. I'm not saying they make money, but seriously, you know, this whole thing about being negative, every time someone starts something, we're just negative. We just want to bring it down. Why for once can we not be positive about someone, an institution? Now here, the Shaykh is saying there's so many hadiths. Like I was saying, that some people have a problem. Why is this Shaykh, you know, why are there so many people walking behind him? You know, why? Like somebody said about once a sheikh in another country, This, and as I told you, I lived in Syria, and the respect the ulama and the sheikh and the shuyukh received there, second to none. You will never see that anywhere in England. Seriously. You know, people, the way they honor their shuyukh and their teachers, subhanallah, you'd be amazed. This is in Syria, in Damascus, in Halab. So, this is what I saw. So now, somebody commented, why do people walk behind ulama? Now, the Sheikh is saying here, clearly, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda al-Halabi, when you walk behind somebody who's your senior, somebody who's your leader, somebody who's your teachers, not just your Sheikh, but your father, your uncle, someone prominent, someone senior to you, walk slightly behind him on his right-hand side, and all the other etiquettes. So he says there are many evidences, and he mentions, he says, روى مسلم في صحيحه في باب آداب الطعام والشراب وأحكامهما عن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه قال كنا إذا دعينا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى طعام لم نضع أيدينا حتى يبدأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيضع يده. Imam Muslim, the great scholar of hadith, relates in his Sahih, in the chapter of the etiquettes of eating and drinking and its rules. This is the Sahih of Imam Muslim. He has a chapter of eating, you know, a chapter regarding the etiquettes, the adab of eating and drinking. From the companion, he mentions that Sayyiduna Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He says that when we were invited with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to somebody's house for a meal, we would not place our hands until the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin eating and place his hands first in the utensil, in the plate, on the food. Clear evidence, Sahih Muslim, subhanallah. This is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do. When we would go with him, we would not start eating. We would all be invited, we will all sit down, we will be all around the spread of food, okay, and we would not start, nobody would start eating until the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start, okay, and wal ulama warathatul anbiya, you can't say that this is only specific to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Sahaba used to do this amongst themselves, and the Sahaba were the students of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Tabi'un were their students, and then you can carry on, and the ulama also the successors of the anbiya. So this shows that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this kind of etiquette, that when you sit with somebody prominent, you don't start eating, let them start first. Okay? This is a very important hadith. Then the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ عَقَدَ الْإِمَامُ النَّوَوِيُّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ رِيَاضِ الصَّالِحِينَ بَابًا خَاصًّا فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضُوعِ وأورد فيه طائفة كبيرة من الأحاديث أقتصر هنا على ذكر أكثرها وعنونه بقوله باب توقير العلماء والكبار وأهل الفضل وتقديمهم على غيرهم ورفع مجالسهم وإظهار مرتبتهم. He says that the great Imam al-Nawawi رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه, we've talked about him previously, devoted a whole chapter in his famous book, Riyadu Salihin. Pick up Riyadu Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous, Hadith Collection. A specific chapter he devoted to this topic. And in it, he brought many ahadith, a large collection of ahadith. And the Shaykh says here that I will try to suffice here by mentioning most of those hadith from the chapter of Riyadu Salihin, the chapter which Imam Nawawi has mentioned and has compiled in his book. And he titled it, Imam Nawawi, Rahimahullah, titled this chapter heading, this specific chapter that he devoted to this topic. The heading that he mentioned was, Babu Tawqir al-Ulama'i wal-Kibari wa Ahli al-Fadli wa Taqdeemihim ala Ghayrihim wa Raf'i Majalisihim wa Idhari Martabatihim. Chapter regarding the respecting of ulama, the respecting of elders, the respect of the righteous people, and giving them precedence over others, and giving them the best seat, and acknowledging their status. This is the chapter. Those of you who are acquainted with Riyadu Salihin, pick up Riyad al-Salihin. Riyad al-Salihin of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, it's been translated into English as well. There's this specific chapter you'll find. The chapter regarding, look what does Imam Nawawi say? What's the chapter heading? Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, chapter regarding respecting ulama and respecting elders, your uncle, your father. Respecting Ahlul Fadl, respecting the people of virtue. So like respecting people of piety, of wisdom, of somebody who's a doctor, for example. Respecting all these people of quality that I was talking about yesterday. And still the chapter heading carries on, and giving them precedence over others. Giving them precedence over others. And giving them the best seat. You know, if you're sitting in a gathering, give them the best seat. And acknowledging إِظْهَارِ مَرْتَبَتِهِمْ, acknowledging their martaba, their status, their level. Okay? This is the chapter heading. Who has mentioned this title in his book? Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. He says, chapter regarding the respect of ulama. Meaning, a person, we have to respect the scholars and the ulama regardless of whether they're young or old. Okay? These are two... Why he mentioned two separate things? Chapter regarding the respect of the ulama, and then he mentioned respecting the elderly people, and then respecting the people of virtue, of good attributes. Three separate things he mentioned. Why? Because all these three different aspects require that we respect them. All these three different aspects deserve respect. So, what Imam Nawawi is trying to imply by this chapter heading is that we have to respect the ulama, people of knowledge, the shuyukh, whether they are old or young, or whether they have the other good qualities, attributes or not. Just having, merely having the quality, the attribute of ilm, the attribute of knowledge, just having this quality of being an alim in itself entails that we respect them. And then he mentioned age separately, chapter regarding respecting the ulama, respecting the elderly. Now elderly, that in itself, age, old ageness, and being old in itself is a quality that entails that we respect that person, that deserves respect, regardless of whether that person has knowledge or not. So an alim should be respected and must be respected whether young or old. An old person must be respected whether alim or non-alim. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And then lastly, the third thing that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned, that people of fadl, people of virtue. So regardless of whether they're elderly or whether they are alims, this is a third independent quality. People of virtue, like for example, somebody is pious, somebody is wise, you're respecting a wise man because of his wisdom. Now, he doesn't have knowledge, he doesn't have ilm, and he's not elderly, he's young. But nevertheless, because of his wisdom. So these are three different, separate, independent qualities. Number one, ilm, and it's in this level as well. The level, the tartib, the order which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned. This has been explained, if you look in this book that I have in Arabic, there's a footnote which has been related from Al-Allama ibn Allan. Allama ibn Allan, there was a great imam called Imam ibn Allan, who has a commentary on the Riyad al-Salihin in Arabic called Dalil al-Falihin, and the Shaykh has mentioned this from him, quoted this great commentator Ibn Allan in his commentary. It's in four volumes in Arabic. Dalil al-Falihin, Sharhu Riyad al-Salihin. So Ibn Allan is explaining this, that look, these are three separate independent qualities, and the order which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has used in this heading, that's the order that we need to follow. So for example, if you have five people sitting in your front room, living room, one is an alim, okay? He's about 35 years old, for example, or he's 40 years old. Say a 40-year-old alim, young, okay? He's young. And then you have somebody elderly who's 60 but not an alim. And you have somebody else who has some other good quality like wisdom or generosity or piety. Say piety. And then you have other people. Now from these three people, the alim deserves respect because of his ilm. Okay, the Shaykh, the Alim, deserves respect because he is knowledgeable in regards to Islamic matters. The elderly person deserves respect because of his age. And the third individual, he deserves respect because of his piety. Now, all three must be respected over and above the rest. But within these three people, what is the order? Who should be, like, if you bring tea first, who should you go and give it to first? The elderly one who is 60, or the alim who is 40, or the person of good quality, of piety. The Shaykh explains here that first, this is the order that we need to follow. That the alim then will be given preference over others. He deserves more respect. So ilm and knowledge is a quality, is a quality that is over and above, okay, over and above the rest of the qualities. And the second quality is age. And then the third is all the rest of the qualities, all the good, noble qualities, like he says here, وَأَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ, people of good virtue, meaning people who have good, noble character, those who are honorable, those who are brave, those وَغَيْرِهَا مِنْ خِصَالِ الْكَمَالِ, other good qualities like generosity. So bravery, generosity, wisdom, nobility, you know, piety, these kind of qualities, they come number three, on the third level. So this is a title, chapter, heading which Imam al-Nawawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu has used in his book Riyadu Salihin, chapter regarding respecting the scholars, respecting the elders, and the respecting the people of virtue. And then he said, and giving them precedence over others, and giving them the best seat, even though they don't want that best seat. They'll come and sit anywhere. They'll probably just sit on the floor out of humbleness and humility. But we have to respect them, give them, say, no, Shaykh, you have to sit here. This is the main place that you must sit on. And acknowledging the status, acknowledging. And idharu martabatihi means that, you know, making people aware of their great rank and position in Islam and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and then Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he starts off this chapter by mentioning a verse of the Quran and then many hadith. And the author of this book that we have, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, he's actually just literally quoting directly from Riyad al-Salihin. So he says, قال الله تعالى قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Number one, first of all, a verse of the Quran showing and proving and endorsing what we've just said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O Messenger, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, can those people who know, those people who have knowledge, be equal to those who don't know? This is what we call istifham inkar. Istifham inkar. It's a question, but an answer in itself. There's a specific English term for it, which is just escaping my mind right now. A rhetorical question or something like that. What is called istifham inkar. Allah is saying, can those who are knowledgeable and those who do not have knowledge, can they be equal? Meaning, of course not. It's obvious. You don't need to answer this question. Without a doubt, they cannot be equal. People of knowledge cannot be equal to those who don't have knowledge. And then Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, verily only those who have aql, sanity and deep understanding, they take heed of what Allah is saying. And then we have a hadith. So this ayah, this verse shows that those who have knowledge cannot be equal. If somebody says that, look, everybody is equal, the alim should not deserve more respect for over and above a non-alim, a non-shaykh, simple verse of the Quran, which is being used by not just Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, the author of this book, but also the great classical Shafi'i muhaddith, Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Riyadu Salihin. And then after that, the hadith also now mentioned by Imam Al-Nawawi, the ayah is being used, that look, people of knowledge and those who do not have knowledge cannot be equal, hence give preference to the people of knowledge. And then we have a hadith, أن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو البدري الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يؤم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم هجرة فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأقدمهم سنا رواه مسلم. This is a hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Again, outlining the various level and darajat and ranks and positions of the people. Abu Mas'ud Uqba bin Amr radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? He said, let the people be led in prayer. Let the Imam be the one who is the one who is able to recite the Quran in the best manner. أقرأهم, the one who is the most able in reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And which also means, you know, the one who has knowledge as well of the book of Allah, and so, and especially the rules of Salah. If they are all equal in recitation, then the one who has the most knowledge about the Sunnah. And if they are all equal regarding the knowledge of Sunnah, then the one who is made the earliest migration and hijrah from Mecca to Medina. And if they are all equal, then the eldest one should become the Imam. What is this hadith trying to prove? This hadith and this saying of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is pointing out that there are levels within people. If you are sitting together, if you are in a place, who should become an Imam? The one who has the highest rank should become the Imam in prayer, and he should lead the Salah. And this is not only restricted to, I mean, this hadith is specific about leading the prayer. So in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is the most able in terms of reciting the book of Allah, he has the most right. He should be the Imam. If everybody is equal, you have four people and all of them are equal, then the one who has the most knowledge about the Sunnah, if they are all equal, then he said, you know, the one who did the hijrah earliest. And then if they are all equal, meaning in all these other qualities, then the eldest one, the elderly person. So you have four people, all of them are equal in their knowledge, in their wisdom, in the recitation of the Quran. They're all equal. But one is 50, one is, the remaining others are all, you know, 40 for example. Then the one who's 50 years of age will become an Imam. Now this hadith, despite it being specific to leading in Salah and in prayer, but its message or its meaning is generalized. It's general to everything, not just leading in prayer, but everything else. Give precedence to the one who is more worthy of being given precedence to. We have another hadith. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليليني منكم أولو الأحلام والنهى ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم رواه مسلم. Again, Imam Muslim rahimahullah relates in his Sahih from the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let the wise men and the mature people pray close to me and immediately behind me in prayer. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is he saying? That when I am in Salah, I am the Imam, let the ones who have wisdom and maturity, the wise people, Ulul Ahlami, and Wal-Nuha. Nuha means people of intellect, of maturity, of understanding. Let the people of wisdom, of people of intellect, let them stand close to me. They should be the people in the first saf, right behind me. Okay? Then the one closest to them, and then the ones closest to them. This shows as well, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, look, the ones who have intellect, the ones who have knowledge, the ones who have wisdom, the ones who are wise and mature, they should be in the first saf. So people, the rest of the musallis, the rest of the individuals, the rest of the people who are coming for prayer and salah, they should give these people importance and give them space and let them stand in the first saf of the masjid. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So people of knowledge, people of wisdom, if there's an alim, giving him, you know, like sometimes, mashallah, some people have this great quality. They might see an alim behind, in the saf, in the row behind him, and he'll move out and say, no, you go. Now some people object to this. There's no objection You know, giving preference to someone of a higher quality than to yourself is a great act of reward, a great act of reward. We have a next hadith. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ مِنْ قَتْلَ أُحُدٍ يعني في القبر ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ فإذا أشير إلى أحدهما قدمه في اللحد رواه البخاري. جابر, Imam al-Bukhari, this is now a hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, rigorously authenticated Sahih hadith. Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, relates from the companion Sayyiduna Jabir, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would bury two men from the martyrs of Uhud in one grave, okay? You know, in the battle of Uhud, as you know, many Muslims gave their sacrifice, their life, and they were martyred, shuhada. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims will had to bury, because of the scarcity of graves, they would have to bury more than one person in one grave. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would bury, and the Sahaba, they would bury two per grave, two martyrs per grave. And when he was doing that, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and would say to the Sahaba, أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. He would ask when two bodies were bought, that these two people for this grave, martyrs. Both are martyrs, both are Muslims, both are companions. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he would ask, أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ, who has more knowledge of the Qur'an from these two? In terms of memorization, in terms of recitation, in terms of understanding, who has memorized more Qur'an, who has understood the Qur'an more, who أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا, أَخْذًا means taking in, which does not only restrict itself to the external, you know, memorization, rather it has a more deeper meaning. Who has more Qur'an in him in terms of his memorization and understanding and learning? فَإِذَا أُشِيرَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمَا قَدَّمَهُ فِي اللَّحْدِ. When the other companions, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask this question, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to point out to one of them, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, from these two companions who have both passed away and who are both martyrs, this one knew the Qur'an more, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would place him first in the grave, in the lahd, towards the direction of the Qibla. Even though if the other one was more old, was older than him, okay, but this one, because he knew the Qur'an more, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give preference to him. This is also a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which clearly proves our point, that the one who has more Qur'an, more ilm, more knowledge, more wisdom, is given preference to the others. We have another hadith. وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ أَرَانِي فِي الْمَنَامِ أَتَسَوَّكُ بِسِوَاكٍ فَجَاءَنِي رَجُلَانِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ فناولت السواك الأصغر فقيل لي كبر فدفعته إلى الأكبر منهما رواه مسلم. This is a hadith recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I saw a dream that I was brushing my teeth with the siwak, you know, the tooth stick, the siwak, when suddenly two men came to me. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is relating a dream that two men came to me, one of them was older than the other. So I handed the siwak, the tooth stick, to the younger one from the two men. However, it was said to me in the dream, kabbir, give it to the elder one. So then after that, I gave it to the elder one of the two. Now this hadith as well, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is relating a dream, but this shows that in age, if both are equal in knowledge, we said, remember the order, always remember the order. Knowledge, age, and then other qualities of piety, of wisdom, of generosity, of bravery. So, if they are both equal in knowledge, then this hadith shows clearly that the one who has more age to him will be given preference over the other. And finally, we'll finish on this hadith. There's quite a few hadiths coming, but we'll finish with this hadith. وعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من إجلال الله تعالى إكرام ذي الشيبة المسلم وحامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه والجاف عنه وإكرام ذي السلطان المقسط رواه أبو داود وهو حديث حسن. We have literally 2 minutes. I'll just mention this hadith and then we'll finish. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is part of respecting Allah. Listen to this hadith, brothers, carefully before you just open your fast. It is part of respecting Allah to respect an elder Muslim. The Shaybat al-Muslima. This is like an elderly Muslim whose hair has turned grey. And the bearer of the Qur'an. But the condition is that he is not somebody who goes, transgresses the limits of the Qur'an and goes into extremes and the ones who completely turns away from it. And number three, honoring a just ruler. Hadith recorded by Imam Abu Dawood, and it is a hadithun hasan, a sound hadith. Subhanallah, listen to this hadith. What does the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Respecting three types of people. Respecting an elderly person, somebody who's old, whose hair has turned white and grey. Respecting him, respecting a bearer of the Qur'an, someone who has the Qur'an in his heart, and especially the one who understands the Qur'an, and a qari, a hafiz, and an alim. And respecting a just ruler. Respecting these three people, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, respecting them is part of respecting Allah. So important that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered respecting these three people part of venerating and respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will end here. We have a few more hadith and the same point carries on for the next 2-3 pages, which inshallah I will discuss tomorrow exactly at 6:30. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khair for listening. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again I join you for a very short program. We don't have too much time now because iftar time is fast approaching. We need to finish the book, as you know. Quickly, swiftly moving on, inshallah, with the same discussion that the author of this book, Min Adab al-Islam, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuddah, rahimahullah, has been discussing for the past few days, 2 days, and today's the third day with the same topic. And inshallah, I'm going to try my utmost best to finish off this particular topic today, this point about respecting senior people, respecting, honoring, and knowing the rights and recognizing the rights and the status of the prominent people, like the ulama, your teachers, your elders, those with good noble qualities, good characteristics. So the Sheikh has been explaining this to us for the past few days in this book. Alhamdulillah, many important points we've been discussing. And he's been discussing this in light of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Many hadiths that point out to the fact that we should respect our elders, we should respect our scholars, like the famous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which Imam Ahmad has narrated, that the one who does not respect our elders does not show compassion and rahmah to our young people, and the one who does not recognize the rights of our scholars and does not honor our scholar, our ulama, then he is not one from us. And we read many hadiths. So, and yesterday we said as well, the Sheikh explained, give preference to the elderly, the people of virtue in serving food, meaning give them the food first, etc. Then he mentioned the hadith that the companion said that we would never place our hands in our food We would never start eating unless the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam started eating first. And then the Shaykh went to explain that there's a whole chapter which Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has compiled in his book Riyadus Salihin, the chapter with the title heading, chapter regarding respecting the scholars, the elders, the righteous people, giving them preference, giving them the best seat, acknowledging their status. And then he mentioned a verse of the Quran and many hadiths. And the final hadith that we came to, and then I will move on quickly, which was discussed yesterday, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily it is part of respecting Allah to respect and honor an elderly Muslim, a bearer of the Quran, and a just ruler. Subhanallah, amazing hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that it's part of respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respect these people. Respecting an elderly person, an old-aged person, somebody whose hair has turned grey and white, respecting him is actually respecting and venerating Allah. Honoring a bearer of the Qur'an, a hamilul Qur'an. Al hamilul Qur'an means the one who has the Qur'an in his heart in terms of memorization, in terms of understanding, in terms of reflection, in terms of knowing the meanings, and then in terms of acting upon that Qur'an. It's a general term, hamil. It does not only restrict itself to the one who's just memorized it. It includes the one who's memorized the external wording, but also the one who understands it, the one who comprehends it, the one who practices upon it. And respecting a just ruler, a sultanul muqsit, it's part of respecting Allah. So this is a very important hadith. Now we move on. The Shaykh, another three more pages and many more hadiths to point out to the same fact. So I will, inshallah, as I said, there's a lot of detail here. I'm just going to read the Arabic text, translate it, and a bit of explanation. Too much explanation is not needed here. So the Shaykh says here, وَعَنْ مَيْمُونِ بْنِ أَبِي شَبِيبٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مَرَّ بِهَا سَائِلٌ فَأَعْطَتْهُ كِسَرَةً وَمَرَّ بِهَا رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ ثِيَابٌ وَهَيْئَةٌ فَأَقْعَدَتْهُ فَأَكَلَ فَقِيلَ لَهَا فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْزِلُوا النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ رواه أبو داود والحاكم في معرفة علوم الحديث وقال هو حديث صحيح. Maymun bin Abi Shabib, may Allah have mercy on him, relates that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a beggar passed by her on her door. A sa'il, a beggar came to her door to ask for something. Whose door? Aisha radiallahu anha. So she gave him a small piece, a small piece of maybe a chapati or something. فَأَعْطَتْهُ كِسْرَةً, a broken piece. Afterwards, a man passed by her door who was properly dressed. عَلَيْهِ ثِيَابٌ وَهَيْئَةٌ. So she invited him into her own house, made him sit down, and he ate. فَأَقْعَدَتْهُ فَأَكَلَ, honored him, that gave him a seat so he can eat food. So she was asked about this. Who? Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. That first a beggar passed by you, and you just gave him a half piece of chapati or something in his hands, and let him go. And then a different person came who was slightly better dressed, properly dressed, who had some kind of, he had some kind of respect about him, a demeanor about him, and you made him sit down and gave him food and gave him more respect. You honored him by giving him a seat. So Aisha radiallahu anha replied, when she was asked about this, then why the difference? Why treat people differently? So she said, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. A very famous hadith. Treat people according to their level, according to their status, according to their position, according to their rank. مَنَازِلَهُمْ مَنْزِلْ أَنْزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. So this, by this hadith, the Shaykh is trying to prove here that look, it's part of the practice of Aisha radiallahu anha in light of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to treat people in different ways. If somebody objects, that, look, why should we treat people differently? Treat everyone equally? Yes, it's true to an extent. We should not harm people, of course. When we say giving people's rights, treat everyone equally. Not harming people verbally, don't slander, treat everyone equally. Don't swear at everybody. Do not rebuke or ridicule or do not curse everyone. In terms of not harming people, we must treat everyone equally. But the Shaykh, the author, is trying to prove here that in terms of giving someone more respect than someone else, in terms of giving someone the best seat in your house, in terms of someone, you know, serving food to someone first before others, in terms of giving tea to someone before others, not harming anyone, but giving preference to other people, acknowledging the status, then that is definitely permissible without a shadow of doubt, in accordance with the teachings of Islam, and there is nothing wrong whatsoever. This is what the Shaykh is explaining with this hadith as well. So, this, as we said, we've been going on with this. The next hadith, وَأَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدْ سَمُورَةَ بْنِ جُنْدُبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ غُلَامًا فَكُنْتُ أَحْفَظُ عَنْهُ فَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا أَنَّهَا هُنَا رِجَالًا هُمْ أَسَنُّ مِنِّي رواه البخاري ومسلم انتهى ما أورده الإمام النووي باختصار. أبو سعيد سمرة بن جندب رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him. This is a Sahabi, a companion, سمرة بن جندب رضي الله عنه, who says, I was a small child in the time of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I used to memorize much from him. فكنت أحفظ عنه, I used to memorize hadith from him. I used to memorize much knowledge from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you would be sitting in a gathering, فَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, nothing used to stop me and prevent me. SubhanAllah, this is amazing, this hadith. SubhanAllah, you know, this gives so much fawaid, so much benefit, so much kind of issues are understood by this hadith. Look what this sahabi is saying. Nothing used to prevent me from relating my knowledge. Nothing used to prevent me from saying things, except that there were people present who were older than me. Except there were other people who were older than me, who were senior to me. This is a hadith mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. And what is this sahabi trying to say here? SubhanAllah, amazing. This companion, he was slightly young. He said, I memorized so much. I was a young person. I memorized much. I had so much knowledge, alhamdulillah. I memorized a lot from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I acquired and gained a lot of knowledge from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, I would not start saying things in the gatherings because there were people more senior to me present and in presence. They were present there. And this is the adab which is taught to young people, especially young scholars and young ulama and young graduates. This is an amazing adab, that when you have people who are more senior to you, elderly, older than you, people like, for example, you have, you know, elder people around you, then the adab is that you should not be willing to teach there, or you should not be willing to kind of, you know, start relating your knowledge. You need to remain quiet and calm. Only when you are told and are commanded to do something, you do something. Otherwise, you know, subhanAllah, this is an amazing, I've learned a lot from this adab. It's very important. You know, sometimes some people tell me that in certain areas, I don't do so much things. I don't give talks. Or I tell them, I say, look, out of respect and venerance of the senior people to me, there are people who are much, much more knowledgeable and much more senior to me. And out of respect, and this is the adab, that the juniors, the younger ones, we need to show respect, humbleness, and humility. Okay? So, this is what this hadith is saying, and the Shaykh then says, here ends what Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned. So, all of this, these past two pages that we started yesterday, the chapter regarding respecting the ulama, the scholars, the elders, the people of virtue, and then all these verses, it's all been taken from Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, his book, Riyadh al-Salihin. And hence, if somebody wants to see these hadiths, you can pick up Riyadh al-Salihin. Now the Shaykh says, فَالسُنَّةُ الْبَدْءُ بِالْأَكْبَرِ أَوِ الْأَفْضَلِ أَوِ الْأَعْلَمِ. So therefore, we know that the sunnah is the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to start with the eldest one or the most prominent one or the most knowledgeable. Start with what? Start by meaning in terms of serving or shaking hands. This is the khulasa. From here, the Shaykh in the next two pages, he's actually telling us, he's stating the summary, the conclusion of all these hadiths. So he says that hence, in light of the above various hadiths that we've studied, we know that the sunnah is to start in terms of serving or shaking hands, like when there are people sitting and you want to go and shake hands, you go and who do you start with first? Whose hands do you go and shake first? When you are serving tea in your house, when people have come, who do you serve tea first? So the sunnah, in terms of shaking hands or serving, etc., we know that the sunnah is to start with the eldest or the most virtuous or the most knowledgeable. Okay? And he says, أي عند وجود شخص يتميز عن سائر الحاضرين بمزية كبر السن مثلا أو زيادة العلم أو نباهة الذكر أو شرف النسب النبوي أو شرف الإمامة والقيادة أو شرف الجهاد في سبيل الله تعالى أو شرف الكرم والجود في أبواب الخير وأشباه هذا فالسنة في الضيافة والتكريم البدء به ثم بمن على يمينه أيا كان جمعا بين النصوص الداعية إلى البدء باليمين والنصوص القائلة كبر كبر وليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا وابدأوا بالأكابر وغيرها من الأحاديث التي تقدمت. So he says that the sunnah way is to start with the most prominent people, most knowledgeable person, the elderly, meaning when you find a person, when there's a person present who stands out from the rest of the attendees. He's saying that this is only when you're able to distinguish between people. If everybody's equal, then you can't really start with someone. Like for example, you have six people sitting in a gathering in your house, in your front living room. They're all equal in everything, in age, in knowledge, in wisdom, in piety, in all the other qualities. Then you can't really distinguish between them. You can't really say one stands out, one has a higher rank. They're all equal. So the Shaykh is saying here that the sunnah to start with the most prominent is only when you have somebody that stands out, يتميزو, that stands out from the rest of the attendees with a maziyah, with a characteristic, with a quality. Like for example, he says, like the example, quality of age. You have somebody who's the oldest there, or the quality of ilm, there's somebody who's more knowledgeable than everybody else, or the quality of intelligence, somebody is more intelligent than everybody else, or sharaf in nasab, or somebody has a higher lineage, more respectable lineage, sharaf in nasab, which means then somebody is a sayyid, for example, or sharaf in nasab in nabawi, somebody is honored to be from the lineage of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, he stands out without a doubt. Or for example, sharaful imamati wal qiyada, somebody has the position, the status of being a leader, a social leader, the quality of leadership and the, you know, somebody who's a prominent leader in the community. Or somebody stands out because of the quality of doing jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or somebody stands out because of the quality of being noble, al-karam, nobility, wal-jud, generosity. Somebody is generous, so he stands out, more generous than everybody else. Generous in good causes. وَأَشْبَاهِ هَذَا similar and etc., similar kind of virtues. So he says that this only, starting with the most prominent one, giving him food, tea first, shaking hands first, it's only when somebody actually stands out. Okay? So when somebody stands out, then the sunnah is that in your hospitality, in your honoring, you should start with that most prominent person, the one who stands out with all these good qualities, one of these qualities. And then you go onto his right. So you take your tea and you go and go to that person. If there's like five people sitting there, there's one sheikh, alim, the rest are non-scholars, you go and give the tea first to the sheikh, or you shake your hands first. And then to his right, you start with the one on his right, whoever that may be. Now you don't go to the second most prominent person. This is what sheikh is explaining here. Okay, I hope this is clear. After you starting with the most prominent, then you don't see, okay, now you don't go into order that you go and shake hands with him, then you go to the second one on the other side of the room, and then you go to the third one. Jinsan, the eldest one first and the second eldest. No, you start with the one who is the most prominent, who stands out because of these qualities. And then after that, you go to his right. You shake the hands with the one who is on his right. Now, whoever it may be, ayyan kana, it may be the youngest person in that gathering, the least knowledgeable, the least prominent, but still. Now, so the sunnah is only to start with the most prominent, and then you go into the right. And he says, why this is gathering, combining between the various texts, between the texts of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that encourage us to start from the right, and the texts like the ones we've studied that start with the eldest one, or the one who, you know, respecting our elderly people, which have passed. So the Shaykh is saying here that we have two types of texts in the hadith. Some texts indicate that you should start with the most prominent, and some texts indicate you should start from the one on the right. Okay? So by combining and by reconciling these two texts, we come to the conclusion that we should go and start with the most prominent, and then after that, straight away, the one who is on his right. And also, another way of combining between these two hadiths, which has come to mind right now, is that those texts of the hadith that indicate that things should start on the right, you should shake the person who is first on your right, you should go and serve food to the one who's on the right. Those hadith that indicate that we should be starting on our right is when it relates to the situation when everybody's equal. You don't have anybody standing out. When everybody is equal, that's when you just start with the right-hand side. And those texts that indicate, you know, start with the eldest one, and all those hadith that we've just been studying for the past couple of days, those are relating to the situation when you have somebody standing out. So this is how we reconcile and gather between the various texts of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh says, وزعم بعض الناس غلطا وضعف فهم للنصوص وتنزيلها منازلها أن السنة البدء بمن كان في أول اليمين للمضيف أيا كان استنادا إلى أحاديث البدء باليمين وهذا يشرع حينما يكون الحاضرون متساوين متقاربين في الخصال أو الفضائل والسن فيبدأ بأول من في المضيف أما إذا تساووا فيها وتميز أحدهم ولو بكبر السن مثلا فيبدأ به لأنه وصف فيه فضيلة فيرجح بها على سواه فيبدأ به قبل غيره. This is exactly what I've just said. The Shaykh is saying that some people object, some people have claimed, okay, that you know, they have made a mistake wrongly and wrongfully, and their misunderstanding is such that they have misunderstood the text, and they say that you should always start on the right hand side. The Shaykh is trying to reject this position of some people. And he has a difference of opinion with these people. He's saying that, look, some people wrongfully claim and they've misunderstood. They say you should always start. Okay? You should always start. Now, imagine you have, like, in your... You go to a room, yeah? Let's imagine you've got a person who's come with his family to your house, sitting in your front room. He's got a child who's 4-year-old, another child who's got 6-year-old, another child 8-year-old, another child 10-year-old. He's got 4 kids, and the father's there in his 40s. Okay? And he's sitting in your front room, and you bring drinks. And the person on your right, the first person is that 4-year-old kid. And the last person is the father. Are you going to give the drink to the kid first and then give to the father last? Of course not. It goes against basic logic and understanding. And that's what the Shaykh is trying to explain in these next two pages. Those people who claim that you should always start, you should always give preference to, or give the main seat to, you know, always give the one who's on the right-hand side first. They have misunderstood the text because they've only looked at those hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about starting from the right. They have failed to look at those hadith that indicate that we should give preference to the most prominent people. And we have looked at, the Shaykh is trying to say that we are trying to combine between the various two types of texts. So those people who claim wrongfully and they've misunderstood the text, and they say that you should always start from the right-hand side, whoever it may be, you know, because the hadiths, you know, say that you should start from the right side. He says that this is only when all the people who are present are all equal, as I just said, you know. They're all equal or very close in characters, in the status and in the age. Then without doubt, you start with the person who's on the right. Okay, when everybody's equal, you have like everybody's same and equal, then definitely That's what the hadith, those texts are indicating towards and referring to. However, if they are not all equal, or if they are equal and one person stands out, تَمَيَّزَ أَحَدُهُمْ, even by age, you have one person who's older than the rest, for example, then with the sunnah, without doubt, is to start with that person first. Because he has a quality, he has an attribute, he has a characteristic that makes him stand out above everybody, and because of which we should give him preference, and as we've learned in the various hadith. قال الإمام ابن رشد رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه الحافل الجليل البيان والتحصيل إذا استوت أحوال المجتمعين أو تقاربت كانت البداية باليمين مما يستحب في مكارم الأخلاق لما في ذلك من ترك إظهار ترفيع بعضهم على بعض بالتبدئة به أي البدء به وأما إذا كان فيهم العالم وذو الفضل والسن فالسنة في ذلك أن يبدأ به حيثما كان من المجلس ثم يناول هو من كان على يمينه كما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ أتي بلبن قد شيب أي مزج بماء وعن يمينه أعرابي وعن يساره أبو بكر فشربه ثم أعتاه العربية وقال الأيمن فالأيمن. He's quoting from the great Maliki scholar. He says, Imam Ibn Rushd al-Maliki, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he says in his book, his renowned book, Al-Bayanu wa Tahsil. What does Imam Ibn Rushd say? Imam Ibn Rushd was a famous Maliki scholar. He said, when the status of the attendees, the people present, when their positions are equal or very close, then without doubt one should start from the right. Okay? And this is part of good manners, because you are not, you know, you are leaving out, giving preference to some people over others, which is good, okay, by starting with them. So the sunnah, Imam Ibn Rushd is saying the same thing, that when the people who are present are all equal and similar to one another and the status is same, then the sunnah is without doubt that we should start with the one on the right. However, Imam Ibn Rushd says, however, if you have within them a alim, a knowledgeable person, a sheikh, okay, wadul fadl, or a honorable person, or an elderly person, then the sunnah is to start with that person, that alim, that honorable person, or that elderly person, wherever he is sitting in the gathering, wherever he is sitting in the majlis. And then you move on to the one who is on that prominent person's right, as the meaning this is counterclockwise fashion. Do you understand? So you give it to the most prominent person, and then to his right, and then you move all the way around. This is the counterclockwise fashion, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He was given some milk, which was mixed with water. On the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was who? On the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a villager, and on his left was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Okay, now when the milk came, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting. On his right hand side was a villager. On his left hand side was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When the host brought the milk, who did he give it to first? To the one who was on his right? No. Point here, when the host came with the milk in the gathering where there were quite a few people sitting, first and foremost went and gave it to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you start with the most prominent person. And then after that, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was on his left, but he passed it on to his right. So when you receive something, when we receive something, this is another etiquette, when we go to somebody's house and we get something and like we're supposed to move it on, then we move it on towards our right. This is a sunnah. So the host will start with the most prominent person. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave, on his right was a villager, on his left was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He drank from it and then he gave that milk to the Arabi, the villager. And he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by giving him, what did he say? Al-Ayman fal-Ayman, right and right. Yeah, meaning, give it, pass it on your right. It should go on towards your right. وَلَا يُعْطِ الَّذِي عَلَى يَسَارِهِ. And the one who was, this main person who was given, he should, Ibn Rushd is still saying, وَلَا يُعْطِ الَّذِي عَلَى يَسَارِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَحَقَّ بِالتَّبْدِئَةِ مِنَ الَّذِي عَلَى يَمِينِهِ لِعِلْمِهِ وَخِيَرِهِ وَسِنِّهِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَن يَسْتَأْذِنَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. If you are given something, like you're the most prominent person, and you've been given something, then you should, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to the village on the right. So Ibn Rushd al-Maliki, rahimahullah, is saying, you should not give it to the one who is on your left. Don't give it to the, after the most prominent person has been served, either the prominent person himself, like, should not give it to the one on the left, or like you, for example, should not give it. You, for example, take some water in a jug, you give it, you go to the main sheikh and give it to him. And then, after that, you should move on to the sheikh's right, not to the sheikh's left. Or for example, if you are shaking hands, you go and shake hands with the main prominent person in the gathering, and then after that, you move on to his right, okay? Never give something to the left. Don't go towards the left. So Ibn Rushd is saying that don't move on to the left. Don't serve the one on the left of the prominent person, even though if he is more rightful than the one on the right. Like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Abu Bakr on his left, who was more rightful, higher status, but still, he moved it on towards his right. Even though if he is more rightful, has a higher status because of his knowledge, because of his goodness, because of his age. Okay, unless you take permission. So yes, if for example, there's somebody on your right who's less in status and somebody on your left, a higher status, you ask the one on your right, can I give to the one on the left first? Permission. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And this is what he says here. كَمَا فَعْلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذْ أُتِيَ بِشَرَابٍ فَشَرِبَ مِنْهُ وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ غُلَامٌ وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ الْأَشْيَاخِ فَقَالَ لِلْغُلَامِ أَتَأَذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَاء فقال لا والله يا رسول الله لا أؤثر بنصيبي منك أحد فتله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيده أي وضعه في يد الغلام بقوة وعزم إشارة وإذانا منه إلى أنه حقه انتهى سبحان الله. What did the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم do? Once he was brought with some drink, he drank from it. On his right hand side was a small child. On his left were elders. So he said to the right, he said to the child who is on his right, do you give me permission, O child, that I give to this elderly people? See, he asked, because the child was on his right. So he said, no, by Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I will never give preference to my share from you over anybody. Subhanallah. Meaning this child wanted, it wasn't greedy, this child wanted the blessing of the cup of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to drink directly after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had drank from that utensil, from that glass. Subhanallah. So this child said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you know what? I will not give preference to anybody. I mean, this is like unique. This is a privilege and an honor that I'm receiving something directly after your lips have touched, your mouth has touched that utensil. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to him and placed it in his hand with strength, with willingness, that here, take it, pointing out and indicating to the rest that this was his right. That he is on my right, and telling all the elderly people that, look, he is on my right, it's his right, and that's why I've given it to him. Ibn Rushd al-Maliki, his statement ends here. Now, back to the author of this book. Three more paragraphs and we end this point. Sheikh says, فَالْبَدْءُ بِالْيَمِينِ مُطْلَقًا مَشْرُوعٌ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ هُنَاكَ وَصْفٌ فَاضِلٌ يَقْتَضِي التَّقْدِيمَ لِصَاحِبِهِ عَلَى سِوَهُ كَمَا ذَكَرْتُ قَرِيبًا أما عند وجود وصف اعتبره الشارع الحنيف مزية وشرفا وفضيلة فالبدء بأفضل من اتصف به هو المطلوب بلا ريب. Again, same point. So therefore the summary is that starting on the right hand side is a general rule when you don't have someone with a quality, a virtue that requires that you give them preference over others, as I've just explained. However, if you have someone that has a wasf, a quality, a characteristic like knowledge, wisdom, piety, etc., which Islam has considered. This is very important. اعتبره الشارع الحنيف, the pure teachings of Sharia, Islam considers it to be a maziyah, a quality, a trait, a honor and a virtue. Then you start with that person who is attributed, who has that quality, that attribute, that character trait, that quality in them. Then this is what Islam requires from us without any doubt. What the Sheikh is saying here, that when starting with the one in the right is a general rule when everybody is equal. But if you have someone that stands out with a quality, but the important point here is somebody who stands out with a quality that Islam recognizes it to be a quality, like the examples we've given. Ilm, knowledge, wisdom, piety. Somebody is an alim, a hafiz, a qari, a muqri, a reciter of the Quran. Age, wisdom. Okay? Qualities that Islam acknowledges them, recognizing them to be qualities and good attributes. Qualities and traits that Islam considers them to be an honor. Okay, like I mentioned yesterday, being a doctor, Islam will consider that to be an honor. Having a lot of wealth? No, as I explained yesterday. Having a lot of wealth is not a quality that Islam recognizes. Yes, somebody is generous with the wealth, then the generosity is a quality. But just merely being rich, Islam does not consider that to be a quality in itself. So if somebody goes and serves or shakes hands with a man just because he is rich and nothing else, then that's wrong. وَعَلَى حَدِّ Then the Shaykh says, وَعَلَى حَدِّ الْقَوْلِ الْمَزْعُومِ سَيَبْدَأُ الْمُضِيفُ بِمَنْ كَانَ فِي أَوَّلِ جِهَةِ يَمِينِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ أَصْغَرَ الْأَوْلَادِ وَالْأَطْفَالِ أَوْ خَادِمَ صَدْرِ الْمَجْلِسِ أَوْ سَائِقًا وَقَدْ يَكُونُ غَيْرَ مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ مُرَافِقًا لِوَجْهِ الْقَوْمِ أَوْ رَأْسَ الْعَشِيرَةِ أَوْ تَاجِ الْمَجْلِسِ الْعَالِمُ الْجَلِيلُ أَوْ الْأَمِيرُ النَّبِيلُ أَوْ الْجَدُّ أَوْ الْوَالِدُ أَوْ الْعَمُّ الْفَضِيلُ فَهَلْ يَسُوغُ فِي فِقْهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَدَبِهِ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْعِلْيَةِ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنَ الْبَدْءِ بِضِيَافَتِهِمْ وَتَكْرِيمِهِمْ وَيُبْدَأْ بِالطِّفْلِ أَوْ الْخَادِمِ أَوْ السَّائِقِ ثُمَّ بِمَنْ بَعْدَهُ من أمثاله أو أعلى منه قليلا وقد يكون عدد الذين على اليمين قبل كبير القوم وأفضلهم عشرة أو أكثر فلا ينتهي المضيف إلى وجيه المجلس وصدره إلا بعد عشرة أشخاص أو عشرين شخصا. Again, he's driving his point home, the Sheikh. He's saying, look, you know what those people who claim that you should always start on the right? It doesn't make sense what they say, the Sheikh is saying. The claimed position which people claim, meaning starting with the right, whoever it may be. He says that it doesn't make sense because you might start with the youngest child in the gathering. You know, there'll be like a two-year-old kid sitting in that gathering. There's 10 people. Okay? Or you might have a servant of the head of the, you know, gathering. Or you might even have a driver. You have a sheikh coming and his driver. Driver's on the right, you start with the driver. Sometimes he may even be a non-Muslim. You want to start with a non-Muslim before a Muslim? Or just a companion to the main person, to the head of the family or the crown of the gathering, who is a great alim, who is a great amir. Somebody might be there may be a grandparent there, a father or an uncle. You want to start with a two-year-old kid before his 70-year-old grandfather? Because if you're saying on the right all the time, that's what's going to happen. So the Sheikh is saying, does the Islamic etiquette ever allow this? That you leave all these great prominent people, you know, and you start with a child or a servant or a driver, and then you just go on towards the right. And it could be so that before getting to the main person in the gathering, the main person because of whom you've invited everyone, there may be 10 people or even 20 people. You might not even get to the most prominent person in the gathering except after 10 people drinking or 20 people, you know, you serving them. You serve 10, 20 people tea. And then finally you go to the main sheikh or the main person because of whom you have gathered and invited everyone. So it doesn't make sense. So therefore, without doubt, the sunnah is to go to the most prominent person. And the final paragraph, and we end with this, حَاشَ فِقْهَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَدَبَهُ أَنْ يُسَوِّغَ هَذَا الْإِخْلَالَ بِالْأَدَبِ وَالتَّجَمُّلِ الْفِطْرِ أَمَّا فِي حَالِ طلب السقيا من صغير أو مفضول أو نحوه فقد صار هو صاحب الحق بإجابته والبدء به لطلبه ثم بمن على يمينه بعده ولو كان أصغر القوم وأقلهم شأنا وإذا لاحظ عند تقديم ما طلبه إليه من الماء أو سواه أن من هو أكبر منه أو أفضل له توجه إلى ما قدم إليه فآثره بالبدء به رعاية للأدب الإسلامي في الإيثار فذاك فضل كبير قد حازه زاد به عطرا وارتفع به قدرا وأحرز به أجرا. The summary of this, because we don't have much time, the summary of this last paragraph, what the Sheikh is saying, that he says, God forbid, Allah forbid, far from it, the fiqh of Islam, the etiquette of Islam will never allow this abandonment of adab and this natural beautification. How can Islam allow you to do that? You have 50 people in a gathering and there's a main person you've invited. He stands out. He's the greatest person there, the Sheikh. And you leave him and you go and serve on your right, and then you finally you go to him after 20, 25 people. So this Islam will never allow. He says, yes, without doubt, if one person, for example, asks for something, for water, Like, you know, somebody who's less prominent asks for water, then without doubt you will go and get the water or the tea or something, and you'll go and serve him because he's rightful, because he's asked for it, okay? And then once you bring it, then you can carry on from his right because he's asked for it, even though if he's less prominent. That's not a problem. But if you're just generally giving everyone, then you must start with the most prominent and the one with the highest status, okay? And then the Sheikh finally says that, you know, when this less prominent person, when he's asked for it and you come and give it to him, and he sees that someone more elderly, someone with a higher status has a desire to that drink, then give him preference. Give up your right and give it to him, inshallah. This is, you know, giving ri'ayah, consideration to the Islamic etiquettes of unselfishness. You will be considered to be unselfish and you will be practicing this quality of ithar, which we are all required to practice, inshallah. And this is a great virtue. And with this, the person will increase in essence and his honor and his status will be elevated, and he will gain أَحْرَزَ بِهِ أَجْرًا, and he will gain great reward, inshallah. By this, we come to the end of this particular point and this etiquette of respecting elderly people, respecting the scholars, respecting the ulama, respecting the people of good qualities, respecting the people of nobility, respecting the people of wisdom, people of generosity, people of piety, salah, taqwa, giving preference to them, acknowledging their status, acknowledging their right. The Sheikh mentioned that when you walk with them, walk slightly behind them, when you enter or come out from a door, let them enter and come out first. You know, when you speak with them, give them the respect, let them speak first, listen to what they have to say attentively, respectfully, be extremely humble in front of these kind of people. That doesn't mean these people are sinless and they are infallible. No, they are not ma'soom. We all know, all human beings, only the prophets were ma'soom. They are not ma'soom, they do commit sins, but we have been ordered, we are sinful as well. If you see something wrong, then in a respectful way, if an alim is doing something wrong, then in an extremely respectful way, private way, manner, you know, you have to, you know, talk to them. Don't disrespect them. You know, some of the ulama have said that, like, for example, Sheikh Mawlana Ashwili Thanwi rahimahullah says that a scholar is worthy of respect even if he is doing something wrong because he is a scholar. Like your parents is worthy of respect just because they're your parents, in the Quran Allah says. So with this, we come to the end, inshallah. The time of iftar has arrived. Sorry, I've just come all the way to the, you know, exact time of iftar because time is very short. Tomorrow, by the way, inshallah, I've been told that I will be starting half an hour early, that's 6 o'clock p.m. UK time. For those listening from outside the UK on the internet, that's just half an hour before normal time, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.